Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
And to talk about the Giants and a day when Jackson Dart really struggled, the play calling was awful, we bring in Nick Filato. Nick is the writes for Big Blue View, co-host of Big Blue Banter, does an excellent job. Hey, Nick, welcome back to the program.
Lori, thank you so much for having me. Wasn't that quite the show we received today, New York Giants family?
Yeah. So I wanted to talk to you about a number of things, but I wanted to start off just because before I, went to break, I had a caller who was asking about the play calling today from Mike Kafka, and in particular, all the runs that were called, and in particular, he noticed the runs that were called early downs. And so I shared a stat that I'd seen, in fairness, courtesy of Bobby Skinner pulling it. The Giants had 19 plays to call on first down today, and they ran the ball 16 times, called 16 runs out of 19 plays. What did you think of the play calling today from Mike Kafka? What did it say to you?
Well, it says that he was a little tentative to allow Jackson Dart to, quote-unquote, do his thing against this Brian Flores defense. I would contend, and this is a bit of an unpopular opinion, that the run-heavy approach was wise by Mike Kafka. I think he probably went a little bit too OD, as the kids would say, when it comes to running the football, particularly on some of those early downs. But if you go back to the Washington game last week, they attempted to throw the football a lot on first down, and it just did not work for the New York Giants. And when the Giants were throwing the football in this game, it just did not work because Brian Flores was really manipulating an offensive line that was without John Runyon, which was unexpected. So the Giants were unprepared to be without John Runyon. So Aaron Stinney was forced in the lineup. And then early in the second quarter, you lose Andrew Thomas. And there was one thing that Dan Duggan of The Athletic, who does a great job covering the New York Giants, he said in his pregame thoughts about how the Giants, if you go back to last year, it was very clear, Duggan said, talking to some of the veterans on the Giants, that the Giants were really outcoached last season when they got beat by the Vikings 28-6 on opening day. And one of the things that Brian Flores threw at the Giants a lot in that game was cover two defenses, meaning two high shells, meaning a lighter box. So Kafka and those veterans said that the Giants were going to have more cover two beaters in this game. Now, I didn't see that from a passing perspective, and I want to reserve some judgment for the All-22. We saw it, I guess, once on that Wandell Robinson drop up the seam. Mm-hmm. But another way to beat cover two is to just run the damn football. And when you rip off 33 yards in two carries to Tyrone Tracy Jr. to start, and you're kind of putting yourself ahead of the sticks and getting into third and two and third and three situations, I would say that that's a wise approach to some degree, right? And also some of those runs were also RPOs, one of them being the first and 10 on the Giants' first field goal drive, where it was a pass and they didn't run the football. It's first and 10. And what happens? Theo Johnson drops the football. Then Theo Johnson drops another football. And Darius Slayton drops one of the only good passes by Dart late in the game. So it was a colossal failure from the passing attack. And that's compounded by the fact that I don't think the Giants had had too much faith in Jackson Dart's ability to really understand what he was seeing and what to do with the football, with the hot tags that Mike Kafka was talking about after the game. So I think if you're going, like, I would love to see, Laurie, the Giants just call the plays right now to develop Dart, but that's not what they're doing. They're trying to win football games. And I would argue that the approach was probably more closely aligned with winning football games than allowing Jackson Dart to drop back and pass against that Brian Flores defense with the surrounding teammates that Jackson Dart is working with currently.
So, yeah, there's two points I wanted to dive in there on. One is, even if you were going to go with a run-heavy approach, after, let's say, that first drive, at a certain point, don't you want to vary, even if it's more of a run-heavy approach, don't you want to vary and mix in some first-down passes, some screen passes, some short passes to get them in a little bit of a rhythm earlier? And don't you want to mix in a few of those? Because if the stats are, I mean, if you are running the ball on first down 16 out of 19 times and waiting until a day when you ran the ball 30 times, he passed 13 times, you're waiting until predictable passing situations to throw, then aren't you making it that much more difficult for Dart?
Yeah, there's merit to that argument, absolutely. And look, the Giants were in more predictable passing situations when they passed the ball. I think at halftime, they had minus 4 yards per pass attempt or per pass play that was called. So it was not working passing. And yes, if they called maybe some more play actions, I would say that would have been more beneficial if you did that on first and 10.
That's another one. They called two play action pass. They ran the ball 30 times and called two play action passes. Like, why has play action gone away from this game plan?
I think it's because the Giants were just not confident in their ability to pick up the pressure, and there was a tentative nature that they thought that if the play action didn't work out, then Jackson Dart's sitting duck back there and he would end up getting sacked. And now you have a drive where you're in a second and 15 situation, which is even just completely worse. And if you're going up against a cover two heavy defense, which I believe I saw, I think it was from Doug Analytics, said something about excellent follow on Twitter. Go follow Doug Analytics, by the way.
Yep.
That the Vikings were in cover two like 50% of the time. If you're going to get those light boxes against a team that's already pretty susceptible against the run, lean on it. And if it's working, continue to lean on it to try to give yourself a chance to win this football game. But I still would like to see a little bit more diversification,
right,
even though it didn't work last week,
right,
against Washington.
So one is, even if it's a run-heavy game plan, some variation. That's one issue. The second you also hit on that I was going to ask you about, shouldn't the goal right now be developing Jackson Dart? And whether they win or lose, that's the goal. And let's face it, when they try to win, they lose. It seems lost 9 games in a row. They're horrible. So
here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first 2 orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Shouldn't it be about, you know, it reminds me of this. Sidetrack analogy here. My golf game should I take out the right club to play this hole, or should I be saying, well, I might hit a shank. So I'm going to take the wrong club and not get into good habits of trying to make myself hit what is the right club. No, hit the right club. What's the difference? I'm not going pro. I'm not in the LPGA. Woman up and hit the darn right club and play that and get used to that. So that's my muscle memory. It seemed here that instead of trying to develop Jackson Dart, who one day will have to face a Brian Flores coached defense in games that matter, that the Giants were more concerned about protecting him from not just the hits, but like almost getting embarrassed by a Brian Flores defense and looking like deer in the headlights against a Brian Flores defense. And in so doing that, they neutered him, took all playmaking away from him, and not only didn't develop him, but I feel like they did the thing they didn't want to do.
Yes, I would say that the Giants obviously want to develop long-term Jackson Dart, but game plan to game plan, week to week, they're just trying to win football games. And look, it's tough. Like, that's a tough job right now. I don't know what coach can come in here and, you know, make this with the current iteration and it being this late in the season with the way the New York Giants are playing. Like, it's a very tough job, obviously, since they're on a 9-game losing streak at this point. But I don't want to neuter Jackson Dart, and I would love to have him go up against a defense. But like, I think the best game plan, given all the variables that we discussed a little bit ago, was to lean heavily on the run, especially if the Vikings were inviting the Giants to do so, just to avoid those third and long situations. Again, I'm not saying that it was a perfect game plan or anything like that, but the rushing attack was working early on. It was. They were getting like 4.2, I think they finished 4.2 or 4.1 yards per carry, but they were at
4.3 at the end of the day. But you're right, it was working better earlier until the Vikings realized that the Giants were never going to throw the football. So then it stopped working quite as well.
Especially when they brought in that big package. It was like on the third play of the game, they went into a more heavy, odd front look with base personnel, brought in one of their bigger, like 330-pound defensive linemen to shut down the run. And that's where I would like to see them maybe spread it out a little bit and trust Dart, and that's where I would have some critiques for Casper. But overall, I understood the rushing game plan.
And to your point, it also depends. Is the priority to win the game, or is the priority to develop Jackson Dart? I would argue more to develop Dart. And all right, so I also, though, want to go back and take a look. They fire Brian Daboll, and I understood it at the time, but was hoping that firing Daboll wouldn't hinder Jackson Dart's development. At least when you look at the data, the stats, the numbers, Jackson Dart played more effectively, efficiently, productively under Brian Daboll than he has under Mike Kafka. And then if you look at the body language of it, and the connection he obviously had with Daboll and the way he looks lately with some of these games, has it had a bad impact on Dart's development firing Daboll in season, or, you know, do you feel No impact.
Look, you can't say no impact. I can't make a declarative statement as to exactly if it did or didn't, but I can judge by my eyes, and it certainly seems like it did, right? Like he threw for 33 yards against a defense that I think a lot of us circled on the schedule and said, yeah, the Giants are going to struggle offensively against Brian Flores and the Minnesota Vikings. But the Washington game, Jackson Dart looked off from an accuracy standpoint. He ended up finishing with like 250 yards, 246 yards, I think it was, with a pair of touchdowns, but still was not his best game. And then New England game was also not a great game for Jackson Dart. And I think it's easy to, you know, hindsight's always 20/20. We can look back and say, yeah, it definitely seems like Jackson Dart has regressed without Brian Daboll. I think the Giants wanted to give Kafka an opportunity to prove himself as a young, you know, aspiring head coach. And it's been an abject disaster so far for Mike Kafka, unfortunately. And now, in retrospect, it looks like a very poor decision to move on from Brian Daboll. But I'm sure there were other things that Brian Daboll, like, I'm sure there were other reasons why the Giants wanted to part ways from Brian Daboll, other than the fact that they were just losing. And some of that, I think we all saw when Mike Kafka came in and benched Abdul Carter for the first series and then the first quarter when some of those issues persisted. I think the laissez-faire, relaxed approach that Brian Daboll had may have also contributed to the overall culture, the overall rot of the New York Giants. But that's a long list of people who have contributed to that, Lori. I don't know if we have enough time to go over all that.
I like the overall rot. That is how it feels lately with the New York Giants. You mentioned Abdul Carter. And, yeah, in fairness to Mike Kafka, after the benchings or whatever it is, maybe it's the change at defensive coordinator, not sure. But what have you seen lately from Abdul Carter, and how does it impact your view of him moving forward as a piece for the New York Giants?
Yeah, I mean, Abdul Carter, he always has those athletic skill set, right? That athletic skill set that he can beat you in a phone booth 100% because of his lateral agility, his flexibility, ability to dip underneath, his closing burst, all those things, right? And in the last game specifically, he had one heck of a game. What was it?
Yep.
Yeah, he had the two forced fumbles in that game. And this one, he also
maybe three tackles for loss. It was he all those things.
He's sacking the quarterback. Even today, he hit Brosnan and McCarthy like three or four times. So he's getting back there, had impactful plays. Obviously, he had the boneheaded neutral zone infraction offside that negated the Javon Holland pick six, which is unfortunate. Those types of things are going to happen. But for me, I just want a committed player who isn't going to lose interest. And it's easy for us to say that, right? And I want my professional athletes to be professional athletes and act as such. But this is like a 20, 21-year-old kid who was winning at Penn State, and now he's on a New York Giants team that is just losing like crazy. And I think he flipped up from an accountability standpoint. And it's a shame that people on the Giants didn't really hold him accountable for those flip-ups. But now that the Giants coaching staff did, at least, he came back in the Washington game and had his best game of the season. This was another good outing for Abdul Carter. I remain very high on Abdul Carter. I think Abdul Carter is a blue chip type prospect. I don't think he's a complete player. Even last week against Washington, you know, I was raving about that game and everything for the impact plays that he made. But he was also just getting buried by Laramie Tunsil and sometimes by Josh Connerly as well. So he's still a work in progress, but the ceiling is insanely high and he makes splash impact plays. And Lori, I know you watch the New York Giants. How many New York Giants defenders make big splash impact plays? Not many. So, I mean, I'm fine with what I'm seeing from Carter, and I think the trajectory and the ceiling remain. The trajectory remains upward and the ceiling remains high.
Talking to Nick Filato about the Giants, and if John Mara listens to this show, let's say on Odyssey Rewind tomorrow, what's your message to him about Giants general manager Joe Shane and the job he's done, and also what impact that might have about the Giants' potential head coaching search?
Yeah, I mean, look, I think it's difficult to look at Joe Shane and make a case for him to stay, right? Like, how do you make a steel man case for Joe Shane to stay as the Giants general manager after consecutive 9-game losing streaks, 10-game losing streaks under his tenure, under his watch, the fact that everybody else has been let go from this regime basically at this point? I would just say I think this chapter has ended. The fan base might riot if that guy retains his job. It does seem like. I mean, it's pretty bad. You could say yes, he got the cap into a more healthy position this last 2025 draft. That is something that he could probably hang his cap on. But overall, there's just been so many misses in the draft. I mean, even some of the roster decisions that they're making to try to salvage these misses, it's still affecting the Giants. Like, they're just doubling and tripling and quadrupling down on these mediocre players like Evan Neal and players like that, who Jalin Hyatt, who was inactive in this game after they tried to play him last week, which led to an interception because he didn't finish a route. So there's just been so many misses from Joe Shane and this front office, broadly speaking, from a draft perspective. And it's just, I just don't understand how you could tolerate all that losing. Now, there's a lot that goes into a general manager search, and, you know, my heart goes out to the Mara family with everything going on with John. Hopefully he's going to be okay. But I don't know how you roll into next season or roll into next draft with this general manager who has botched the job so far through his tenure here.
And there is a possibility that the Giants will end up with a number one overall pick. I was thinking that last week. I thought, well, I don't know if even the Giants can lose to the Raiders because I thought they were that bad. But you know what? Geno Smith came back this week and they fought hard against the Houston Texans. And so they don't look so terrible. And yeah, I feel like the Giants could be that team that could lose to the Raiders, end up with that number one overall pick. And now, I don't know how you can trust Joe Shane to make the decision, but as you look forward and the Giants are now evaluating head coaching candidates, potentially GM candidates, I know there is potentially a segment of the fan base, and more so starting to be this bubbling narrative. If the Giants end up with a number one overall pick, where would you stand on the Giants drafting, let's say, a Fernando Mendoza and then trading a Jackson Dart? Or are you still, you saw enough of the traits, of the skills earlier this season before everything went to hell when Dable was there as the coach, you saw enough from Jackson Dart that you feel like this is a guy right now you should be building behind as a potential franchise quarterback?
Yeah, I'm not out on Jackson Dart, but that doesn't mean that we shouldn't consider all of our options if the Giants do own that first overall pick. Now, I have not done any All-22 breakdown of Fernando Mendoza. I've seen some broadcast games, and you know, it seems appealing, but I haven't seen a Drake May level type of prop. Like, if Drake May was in this draft and the Giants finished with the first overall pick, I would say yes. As much as Jackson Dart has exceeded all of my expectations, I would have said the Giants got a Josh Rosen him, unfortunately, right? But Jackson Dart has proven enough to me to say I'm only doing that if it's a Drake May level type of prospect. And I'm unsure if this draft contains that. I haven't done that All-22 type of evaluation yet, specifically of Mendoza, because that's who everyone is talking about. But yeah, I see a lot of people piling on Dart, and look, it was a bad outing. And Dart has his warts, but he's also done a lot of impressive things this season in a pretty unfortunate situation for a rookie quarterback, to say the least. Losing your head coach, losing your star receiver a half into playing with him, losing your best friend, who is the physical embodiment of everything that you want from, like, a 1960s, 1970s running back running through people's faces in Cam Scadaboo, right? He's had a healthy offensive line, which is great, but the defense hasn't done him any justice as well, unfortunately, too. So I'm not out on Dart, but I still think the Giants need to seriously consider every option. And I'll be watching his tape and going over it on the Big Blue Banter podcast, Fernando Mendoza, that is, I'm sure. But I'm not sitting here sending Dart away just because of this one bad performance. He looked like a rookie today, Lori. Like, he is, though. You know, like, I think a lot of people, like, he has performed. He has looked. He hasn't necessarily looked like a rookie too often this season. And when he really did in a game like this, which was, as many people have said, a neutered game plan or a very conservative approach, I think a lot of us tend to forget that he actually is a rookie, right? And Brian Flores was like 11-1, I think, heading into this game, or 12-1 heading into this game. against rookie quarterbacks. He's absolutely dominated them. So, I'm not sending him away yet.
Yeah, I mean, look, to your point, the Giants were absolutely awful, and he was, you know, awful today. But if you go back to the, just a couple weeks ago, the Washington Commanders lost to the Vikings 31-0, and they passed. It was 11 for 24 for 99 yards. That was a combination of Jaden Daniels and mostly Jaden Daniels, but also a little bit of Marcus Mariota. So those two guys who were not rookies were 11 for 24 for 99 yards and two interceptions. They each had one against Brian Flores' defense. So he makes a lot of people look bad, and certainly Jackson Dart looked bad today.
That he did, unfortunately. But yeah, we'll have to wait and see what the future holds for us, Warriors. We've been saying that for a while as Giant fans, you know. I've been spoiled with at least some Super Bowls in my lifetime, so I do feel bad for our Jet brethren. But it's been a bleak decade. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, the rot. I'm waiting for the rot to be cleared out. That's a good way of putting it. Nick Filato, Big Blue View, Big Blue Banter. Appreciate the time. We'll catch up with you soon.
Lori, thank you so much. Take care.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience, and it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had. And the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day. And everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All the Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-BONE at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-BONE.